Avocado.
Avocado.
You are now listening to The Young God, a podcast for the gods. Hey people, I'm your host Rodney Amokachie, and you're welcome to The Young God, a podcast for the gods. This episode is a collaboration between the Women's Entrepreneurship Alliance, also known as WENA, founded by Her Excellency Aisha Babangida. Just last week, WENA concluded a conference themed The 360 Woman, which was about changing the narrative about womanhood and understanding how communities benefit when women are allowed to be more than what society expects them to be. The two-day virtual conference highlighted the need for today and tomorrow's women to be progressive, productive, and powerful in all things. This theme is in perfect alignment with the values of the Young God brand, so I was eager to have this conversation when the opportunity came along. For those listening for the first time, the Young God is a state of mind. It's about setting high standards as individuals, elevating oneself above the petty things that hold us back, and expanding beyond the limiting roles society has set for us. A God in this context thinks to himself or herself, what would the average person do in this situation? And then does differently, does better. This podcast is a curation of conversations, ideas, and stories that help my listeners better visualize what they might look like as the best version of themselves. And in many ways, WENA's 360 Woman aligns with this ideal, which is why I was eager to speak with their executive director, Mr. Yemi Bello, about the role WENA plays in empowering women to be as complete and actualized as possible. We covered entrepreneurship, motherhood, marriage, family, and sexuality. Mr. Yemi himself added to the conversation by sharing personal anecdotes, illustrating how he has benefited from surrounding himself with empowered women, both personally and maritally. He talked about his daughter, Isabel, whom I think you all will grow fond of by the time you're done with this episode. Now, I know some women might be skeptical about listening to two men have a conversation about women, but it's important to realize that men can be allies even in their own spaces. Part of the empowerment of women is changing how men see and talk about women and their issues. I happen to believe that the playing field cannot truly be leveled without buy-in from men. This conversation is about an hour long, so it's best you listen while you're doing something boring, something that requires little attention, such as taking a walk or a run, during a workout, doing the dishes or the laundry, making a meal, or during your commute to and from work. So put on your headphones, take a deep breath, and without further ado, let's start the show. Ladies and gentlemen, your host Rodney here. I'm at the lovely Nuit de Paris with Mr. Yemi Bello. He is the executive director of Women's Enterprise Alliance, aka WENA.
That is correct.
And we're here to talk about all things, please.
All things women. Rodney, thanks for having me today. Lovely ambiance, lovely people.
Oh, yeah.
I'm trying to catch up to be a young god myself. Hey. So I'm probably looking forward to having this wonderful conversation with you.
Likewise.
Good to see you.
Diola, who set this up, has been really trying to put this together for the longest time. She felt that you and I would be able to arrive at some kind of, figure out some insights into, women's issues that maybe may not have even popped up in other circles, because
interesting,
that's what like minds tend to do. When you start to bounce off each other,
yes,
new insights come to light.
Okay.
But for the listeners, I'd like to paint a picture right now. We're inside one of the enclosed rooms at Nuit de Paris. It's red decor, red wallpaper. And Mr. Yemi himself is,
interestingly enough, sitting on a red chair wearing a red
kaftan. Couldn't make this up.
I know. I couldn't even picture it. I haven't imagined it. But you're looking glam yourself. Lovely spectacles. I don't know who trims your hair. Interesting.
Yes.
Man of many talents.
You would be surprised, actually.
Well. Also looking good.
Thank you.
Young
you
and dapper.
Much.
I'm sure our audience, if they're ever looking for a young, dapper gentleman, please, I'm sure he's going to post his pic. I'm sure you already have a picture of how he looks like. So, keep all the hashtags coming. Keep all the social media. Keep him locked. So yes, thank you.
So yeah, I mean, you know, Flattery will get you everywhere. I'm gonna tell you that right now.
No, do you know what I say? I love to keep it real. No, it's good to compliment. It's good to compliment one. Yeah. If there's one thing I've actually learned from my boss, and I'll talk a little bit about my boss, a founder of the organization. Her name is Aisha Babangida.
Yeah.
She is a super positive person. Always believes in good vibes. Don't even waste your energy spreading negative. I mean, doesn't hang around negative vibes. So she loves to be around good vibes, good people, being positive, being optimistic, have that positive outlook towards life.
Yeah.
So yes, whenever we have that opportunity, let's just do it, because you don't know. I'm another good believer in you don't know what tomorrow holds. So when you have the opportunity, be good.
Hey.
Be good, spread good vibes, and you never know where it takes you. So that's my philosophy.
It's really that
life.
Simple, yes, actually.
That
you know,
simple, yeah.
I feel like if you have good intentions and you're trying to do right by people, it always comes back. It really does.
I think I'm a living witness to that. I can testify to that. I mean, all throughout my, let's say, young, old career, the places I've worked in, different parts of the world, I've had the opportunity to interact with lots of interesting people.
Yeah.
And you'd be amazed how it opens doors for you. You'd be amazed. I mean, we could talk about that. That in itself is
a different conversation. Yeah.
But bringing it back again, that's the same kind of thing that as young gods, this is the kind of lifestyle, the kind of attitude that we're trying to promote among not just the whole world, but specifically we're targeting women. Yeah. How do you develop that kind of mindset, that mental attitude, so that wherever you go, you're pushing out those vibes, so that encourages people. If you're trying to start a business, you're starting a business with from your mind, the glass is half full.
Yeah.
So you always have the opportunity. You can either say, oh, wow, it's not good. Look for every reason to believe this can't happen. Or you could start by saying, actually, I'm going to do this. So mentally, having that right mindset becomes important. I could even go further. We were having a conversation a few minutes ago, and I said we recently had a conference.
Yeah.
And we had quite interesting people who came, keynote speakers, panel sessions. One of the sessions we had was, we were talking about managing mental health and stress. And at this session, we had two very key speakers. We had Mr. Lanri Olushola. I don't know if you've heard about him.
I'm familiar with him, yeah.
The Catalyst. I mean, he is a walking, living encyclopedia of all what you need to do to be a better you. And then we also had Chioma Omerua, Chigo.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
So it was a wonderful session.
Yeah.
And I mean, till now, there's something that she said that stood out, and I think is applicable to all of us, and women specifically. She said something about our minds being like a garden, and you need to kind of sometimes ring fence it. Ring fence in the sense of allow what you allow to come in must be positive things that will, don't just allow everybody to just, if you hear enough of people knocking you down, at some point of time you start to believe it, really. Yeah. So you guard the things that come into your mind so that they're things that are positive and uplift you so that you can be the better you. Larry even went as further as saying, even the kind of, I mean, you listen to the eclectic, listen to different kind of soulful music, the kind of food you eat. So there were lots of things that we touched on during this conference.
Sounds like a very amazing, you know, like the content you must have gathered from that. Is
lovely, really
incredible,
really, really, really lovely. Maybe at some point we could share I could tell you the links where we could. So because the content's available, is available. Yes, yeah. So,
how did you yourself get involved with Wina?
Interesting. I remember I said about I said something about it's good to be good,
yeah.
And always spread those good vibes. Prior to starting up Winner, so I actually started up with Winner as an organization. I started up with the founder, so.
Yeah.
But prior to that, I was working on a federal government initiative. Yeah. There was a program called the UWIN program.
Mm-hmm.
So I was actually the team. I was a program team lead for UWIN.
Oh yeah.
Yes. So I was there for a couple of years, and so I'd done a lot of stuff: youth entrepreneurship, what's needed to kind of like catalyze young people to start up businesses. How do you provide them with that capacity?
Mm.
How do you mentor them? And then obviously, how do they manage their funding? So I'd been doing that for a couple of years, and then we were having one of my close friends runs a media organization called Brandmarks.
Mm-hmm.
He was organizing something to bring together some women. He was trying to support them, and he said if I could actually come in and listen to them while they do their pitch, and he'll do a critique, and I could do a critique of their pitch, and just provide some sort of feedback.
Yeah.
And so I went there to listen to them and listen to their pitch, and I didn't know that the founder, who later on became the founder of this organization that we started up, was actually in the same room. So I just came, I just did what I had to do, and be myself, just talk and give positive advice and encourage the women who were there. And soon after that, he said, oh, actually, Tunde said, oh yeah, we'd like to actually get together. And then we met up, and as they always say, the rest is history.
The rest is history.
So that's how we decided to, she birthed the idea. It was her idea.
Mm.
But I was there to just help nurture the idea and bring it to life.
Would you look at that?
Yes.
And you know what's funny? It's funny that a woman would see a man, you know, worthy of helping push something that's supposed to help women. You know, usually when we have these conversations, there are a lot of women who are uncomfortable with, for example, two men talking about women's issues. Like they call it mansplaining, so to speak. You know?
Yes.
But I think it's very important for men who share in the progress,
yes,
who have a stake,
yes,
who understand that women are part and parcel of what makes a community progress.
Yes.
To have these conversations, you know, and at least share from there, even if it's from a masculine point of view,
yes,
but at least it's still in support of women in one way. It's a conversation that needs to happen.
Definitely.
So I can only imagine how the kind of impression you must have made with Mrs. Aisha
Babangida.
She would feel, okay, this is a man I need, you know,
to work with
in support of women. You know, that's.
I must say, and I think I alluded to earlier that I'm sure at some point you'll get to meet her. She is She's a fantastic, fantastic boss, fantastic woman, fantastic mentor.
Mm.
Always supportive. My team in the office supports everyone. So when you're working in an environment that you like to work in a place where there's work, do you understand? But you're also the things that you also want to achieve that the person's equally interested in.
Mm.
Then it makes coming to work
a joy.
So
you have a reason to get up.
Yes. So, we're talking about how are we as young gods? How do we transcend ourselves?
Mm.
How do we live a legacy? What are we doing that? You can sit back. I kind of like did that, and it made an impact on people's lives, and that's really when you have a founder who's got that's the vision, really. You can actually quite easily key into that vision to say yes, right. we want to see how we can impact society. But reality is, it takes two to tango. I can equally recall listening to one of our keynote speakers during our conference. She said her name was Professor Mrs. Uchi Azikiwe, okay. who's the wife of our late Nnamdi Azikiwe, former president of Nigeria, mm-hmm. and first premier, I believe.
Yes.
She said that when you want to run, you don't run on one leg. Mm. It takes two legs. And the analogy was that each leg is one part of the leg is a man and the other part of the leg is the woman.
Yeah.
So you need, every part is of equal importance, every part is of equal value. And if you want to get the best, you ideally want to have
both.
Everything functioning to its optimum. Mm. And that's what it's like when you have the man and the woman working together.
Yeah.
So they have an equal role to play in society, in building society. And when they're working together, you get more out of society. And that's why we're trying to make sure that we can do that.
You know, I really like the analogy that you brought up with Mrs. Azikiwe.
Yes.
Because if we're going a little bit philosophical, right? You know the yin and yang?
Yes.
We know how that works.
Yes.
And in symbolism, the yang is the masculine and the yin is the feminine.
Yes.
So one can attribute a lot of the ills that go in society today to the fact that there's an imbalance.
Mm.
One aspect has too much...
In terms of weightiness, one's been overweighted and one...
Yes.
I agree with you.
You know, so... In every problem, it's like, if you want to solve it, you have to return balance.
That's correct.
People like WENA, NGOs like WENA and other likewise initiatives, they're trying to bring that balance
correct
back.
Correct that balance, put the balance back, yes.
Black Lives Matter, they're trying to bring that balance back.
That is correct.
You know, whenever a victim of rape or survivor of rape speaks out,
they're trying to
bring balance back.
That's correct.
You know, so that's really every conflict. Yes. That's really what it is.
Yes, I think if you look at nature and a lot of the ills that are going on, think of global warming, is because there's an imbalance.
Yeah.
So what they're trying to do with all these climate change agendas is to try and one way or the other try to correct restore that balance. Mm-hmm. So the whole philosophy really is, let's think about what we can do to reduce these imbalances in society, imbalances within our country.
Yeah.
And that's what we're all about. WENA as an organization isn't even just focused on, it's not a Nigerian organization.
Yeah.
So even though we're based in Nigeria, we want to actually produce world-class entrepreneurs. Okay, that's part of our objective that can affect the marketplace, not only in Nigeria, but across Africa.
Yeah.
And so that the entrepreneurs that we work with, the women entrepreneurs that we work with, are coming up with products, goods and services that actually have social impact.
Mm. Mm.
They provide social impact. So, and that is key. That's important for us.
So we want entrepreneurs who are not only able to make a profit, but affect society.
That is correct.
And I think the impact is what even affects the profits.
That is correct. WENA as an organization, that's what we're doing.
Right.
We are trying to build entrepreneurs, support them, provide them with capacity. We've got a lot of capacity programs that we run. We do mentorship, coaching, as well as linking them to finance. Yeah. We actually have a fund, so we have our own fund.
Okay. Right.
And so we want it to be a bit like our theme, 360. So we know that there are a range of issues that affect businesses. There's access to markets, access to finance. Those are some, do you understand? There's the networking, there's power, there's infrastructure. So we're trying to provide a holistic range of services that can support startups, SMEs, women startup and SMEs, so that they can actually grow and expand. And when these businesses grow and expand, they will affect the economy.
Yeah.
The economy as a whole grows. The people that they're supporting, the women groups that they're supporting will grow. And then then everyone's pretty much the better for it. So
I don't know even why it's taking, you know, countries this long to figure this out. It's a no-brainer. It's like societies just do better when women are involved. You can attribute every issue that the world's going through right now with the fact that not enough women are involved in decision making. It's right. It's a group of men or a man who is, you know, putting out just their point of view.
Yes.
There's no other point of view to balance that out.
That's right.
You can see just in the littlest unit of society, families.
Yes.
A family where, you know, the woman is marginalized and silenced and put to the side, you know, the kids always come out weird. You know, there's always some kind of...
It's lovely we're having this conversation because, unfortunately, what we're doing, and maybe as men, and in terms of our role, what we're doing more harm than good. Mm. Because if the woman is not playing an active role within the home and within that unit, of because that family unit is almost like the basis of society.
Yeah.
If she's not playing, if she's devalued, what she's bringing to the table is not considered of any relevance, the way she's treated, then that naturally rubs off. Growing up,
the ripple effect.
I don't know for you. It was not every single thing that your mom or dad said, do this, do that, do this. It's from what you see.
Yeah.
You learn more from it's more of what is not even said that just ends up rubbing off on you, and you just find yourself, why do I do this?
Yeah.
And so when you're within that unit and that role, that her position is not valued, then it ultimately will rub off on both the man, the young boy in that home, and the young girl in that home.
Yeah.
So then you see instances of you've been in the news. A young girl is going to go and prepare for her exams. She goes to a church to go and prepare for her exams, and obviously, it couldn't have been women going to rape her. But what happens is because the value placed on that woman as a woman, and that didn't just happen. That didn't just happen that minute. That's something that has subconsciously been in that man or in those men.
Those men, yeah.
Yes. And the building and they end up devaluing her. And
they see all women that way.
That is correct.
But then that lady just happened to be the most available, most vulnerable
That's
victim.
Correct. That's correct.
To take out their whatever it is you want to call it.
Yeah. Morbid fantasy.
Yeah, it's really a microcosm of the society we live in.
There's that saying about how, when you want to build a fire, I think the Eskimos, they get a piece of wood and they rub it against each other. And when you rub it hard enough, then you get the fire.
Yeah.
And that's another analogy. When you have like the man and the woman rubbing against each other, against even though their imperfections, when you rub against, because if you use two smooth pieces of wood, you wouldn't really get a fire. They have to be rough on the edges.
Yes.
They have to be rough on the edges.
Actually, that's a good point.
That's it. So you're rubbing against the imperfections of each other, and then when you rub against those imperfections, it produces the fire.
Yeah.
So the man and the woman have their own, we have our inherent flaws, but when we are rubbing against each other, then it actually is to bring out the best in both of you. You bring out the fire and the fire burns and you warm each other up. So that's part of when we're looking at the mindsets, making sure that as men, first of all, as men, having the right mindsets, and then as women, to believe, I think it's important as women, I think maybe in some societies, let's say in Africa, in Nigeria, for some reason, a lot of women in the past have been brought up, okay, you're the person and the only thing you do is you're within the home. The roles and responsibilities just end there. That's it, really. Yeah, just there to rear children. But that's pretty old school.
It's pretty old school. I think that mindset was ideal for its time. I feel like at that point in time, the world was relatively uncertain. Like no one knew what it was. So it was it was important to have those roles.
Yes.
But now that we have so much information at our disposal. We know what is happening 10 miles away from here.
That is correct.
There's no need to separate roles so like black and white anymore.
No, I always like to kind of like punctuate this with I think like personal examples. I mean, so I'm married. Mm. I have kids. Mm. I have a daughter. Mm. And I remember there was a time I was working for. I used to freelance.
Yeah.
So I had my own company, and I would consult consult for organizations. And
yeah.
There was a time when I think I'd finished a gig,
mm.
and I was like, okay, what do I want to do next? And I was kind of like out of work for a couple of months,
yeah.
about like six, 7 months actually. Just, yeah. I mean, getting myself together, doing stuff, reading materials,
yeah.
doing stuff. But I wasn't working. And I have a home, remember?
Yeah.
I've got kids. Yeah. They still need to eat. They still need to go to school every day.
Yeah.
I had a wife. Wife's a chartered accountant. She's she's super fantastic at what she does.
Mm.
Super clever. Mm. If it was that, oh, everything, I have to do every single thing, and then I could just be like, I mean, I'd have maybe just run mad, really, yeah. run crazy. But when you have someone who's your support, you've got a partner, you're not just, your partner is supportive, but you're also encouraging your partner to be the best that she can actually be.
Yeah.
Then it just makes it.
Everything
it
just better. Makes,
yeah, so that's the, maybe, so if there's a reason we're talking to men, if there's a selfish reason for doing it, basically you just give yourself less stress. So build them up, you understand? Build them up, support them, encourage them to be the best mm-hmm. that they can be, and you have less stress, really.
You know, it's the sense is so common, like it's such a common sense, but people miss it. It's like things like ego and pride, and I think it just comes back to the nurture of things when it comes to how we raise our men, and you know how men are now, how men see themselves and how they see women.
Hmm.
I feel like a woman is like the single greatest attainable asset any man can do. If you're able to pick the right woman to go on this life journey with mm-hmm. you have taken care of 70% of life's problems. Are you familiar with?
I'll go back and say maybe like 100%, mate. If you miss it, mate, you're screwed. If you get it right, you're pretty much salted.
You think of Greek mythology. Are you familiar with Greek mythology?
A bit of them. Just tell me which ones in particular.
So the gods, the Greek gods.
Yes, yes, yes.
And one of them that inspires this podcast is the goddess Athena.
Yes, and Athena. Yes.
Oh yeah.
Yes.
So if you know what Athena stands for, she's the goddess of wisdom, of
yes.
strategic warfare, of yes. creativity, of
yes.
skills,
yes.
the arts.
Yes. yes.
She's like in my eyes. The,
dun 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 dun.
Yeah, and then she's a woman.
Yes.
And if you know her story, she was swallowed. No, rather, let me take it back. Exactly a good story. I'd like to tell the story.
Okay.
When it comes to, you know, talking about women empowerment.
Yes.
So Athena's story is that Zeus, the king of the gods.
Yes.
Was married to the goddess Metis.
Okay.
Now, Zeus's story is that he overthrew his father, Thanos.
That's correct.
In order to become the king of the gods.
Yes.
Now, when he lay with Metis, the goddess, the oracle of Delphi told him that your son is going to overthrow you just like you overthrew your father. Now, as you can see, the masculine
yes.
pride and ego and fear, what did he do? Zeus swallowed goddess Metis whole while wow. she was pregnant
wow.
with his child.
Wow.
Months later, Zeus had a splitting headache. A He could not function.
Yes.
So he asked Hermes yes. to use his axe and split his head open so that whatever is there could just come out.
Okay.
And when he did that, Athena came out of his forehead fully grown
yes.
and in armor. You get that kind of
yes,
thing?
Yes, yes.
And in that way, Athena became Zeus's favorite child, you know?
Yes.
Because, the forehead is synonymous with the third eye.
Yes.
Which is wisdom.
Wisdom, yes.
And so she's the goddess of wisdom for that. She has her father's courage and, you know, warrior mindset.
Yes.
She's like the best of both worlds when it comes to that, but she's still a woman.
Yes.
Now, what Athena excels at is that, like any woman who is in her element, she knows how to pick her man.
Mm.
She knows the kind of man she needs, you know, to be herself, the kind of man she wants to support.
Yes.
So what Athena does is that she looks for those kinds of heroes, people who are doing the most, who are doing something, who yes. are brave, and she goes and she helps them.
Mm.
And she's like, she stands behind them
yes.
and gives them ideas. She whispers to them, tells them, this is what you should do. Try this. Go there.
You know,
now, sorry, let me just take this away.
Yes.
So when we bring that back to today's gender dynamics.
Yes.
When they say behind every great man is a woman.
Yes.
That is that idea.
That's the idea. Ah, now I get it.
Behind every great man. And it's because those warriors, they allowed and listened to her counsel. Because they could have said, oh no, I know what it is. I know what to do. I'm, you know, but they listened to her counsel. And then when they would do what she asked,
yes,
or what she recommended,
yes,
they would succeed. And then they would now return the favor by like giving her the spoils of victory. You know, so it was a very nice relationship.
Yes,
and that illustrates to me how the ideal dynamics between any man and woman
should be. It's interesting when you were trying to paint that picture of Athena, and I'll say like I'll use two scenarios to almost like buttress your point. Like from my workplace, in fact, I could see. I could see very much that kind of Athena type spirit in my boss, actually. And at home, I see that so much a lot, even in my wife. That kind of, yes, you can do it kind of spirit.
Yeah.
So you're right. What we're here then to do is there are a number of things to remind women that inherently they have that in them.
Yeah.
That's there through programs like what we do is to bring it out.
Bring out the Athena.
Yeah, bring out the Athena. Bring out the Athena in them. It's like sometimes, you know, when you have sometimes you have ideas and they're like bubbling, and you just have to just let it just bubble and come out. And that's what we're trying to do. How can we make the young girl those things start to bubble? I think of my daughter's Isabel.
Mm.
Sometimes I just wonder. I don't even know where she gets it from. Isabel would wake up in the morning. Okay, we're in lockdown now. Isabel would wake up in the morning after she's come down, had breakfast. She picks up her violin. She plays the violin.
Oh yeah.
She plays the violin. I love music, but I don't even know where. I don't even know. Maybe it's the Athena thing. So apart from just learning, got a tutor to teach her music, but she also, I don't know how she's picked up, she can play by ear. So they're playing music and then next thing she's picking up a violin and she's trying to replicate that thing. And before you know it, she's got it. I mean, a couple of minutes, she's playing it by ear, first time, so part of what we're to do is, I've seen, that's the Athena in her. That's that spirit within her. How do you nurture so that you can see all the kind of capabilities you have? I mean, this is a young woman. How do we nurture those giftings, those talents within her, which is inherent? And that's inherent in every woman.
Yeah.
So that's what we are to do, both men and women, so that we can then begin to affect and impact society. I mean, she never ceases to amaze me. And I'm like, okay.
Hearing you talk, I will take that adage further. Behind every great man is a woman that was allowed to flourish.
That is right.
I think that's even a more poignant way to put it, because, you know, just as you are, you know, seeing your daughter, seeing all the possibilities, and now you're seeing her as a little girl, but then you can also project to the future and see what she could be.
Yes,
you know, as a person, as a fully actualized adult.
Yes,
and it's like she's infinite right now. Like she has so many different things that you yourself as a father, you can't wait to see which direction she decides to go in.
Yes,
and I think that's the option we try to give women. You know, that's women shouldn't have to feel like they're born and raised to be mothers, and raised to have kids.
Yes,
born and raised to.
Yes.
Play an invisible role.
That's correct.
You know?
Yes.
And knowing this just changes the game, and it's mind-boggling. Just that's empowerment in itself. Just the mind knowing that you can really express yourself in so many ways. And it pains my heart whenever I see a woman who has had that stolen from her by either being married too early or maybe being sexually assaulted at a critical stage in her life, you know, all those things. It's like the devil stealing
something away from you.
That thing is supposed to give you joy and give
you
power.
Correct. That's correct.
People just underestimate that value of when both genders are working in unison.
Yes. Okay, let's look at it. Let's look at some very practical examples. COVID-19. So we've had this outbreak. We've had an outbreak across the world, and different countries have been managing it at different level, different at different ways to try to manage it, to cope with it, to make sure that they bring it under control, so the disease doesn't spread. And one of the very first countries to essentially bring COVID under control, such that it's the number of infections were pretty bare minimum, was New Zealand. Prime Minister of New Zealand is a woman.
She's actually one of my favorite people, actually.
She is fantastic.
A high quality individual.
I mean, and we're talking of, so when you're talking of having the tools, she has the tools, she has the mindset, she has the capability. That is what we're talking about.
You mean all the countries that successfully handled COVID were all led by women.
There you go.
It's not a fluke.
It's not a mistake. It's not by chance.
You know? And then you can see that the countries that are dealing with it the worst are led by the most despicable leaders.
It's not by chance.
Even Macron, who managed to do some to handle it,
yes,
you know, you can tell just by the way he treats his wife. He doesn't joke with her. He doesn't play with her. So you cannot, I'm not even surprised that he would be as a man at the forefront of you know, calling COVID.
And then when you look at these countries in question, and you look at the way they structured their cabinets, do you understand? The way they structured their cabinets is such that women are playing significant roles. They're either constituting between 40, in some cases even up to 60% of the cabinet.
Yeah.
So, and it was not, it wasn't, I wonder, it wasn't, what's the word? Just not tokenism. It wasn't, it's not tokenism that, we're just for gender equality, we're just trying to, there's one token woman, you understand? No.
It was very deliberate.
Deliberate. And merits, they actually have the capacity and the capability to deliver. Yeah. So when you're looking at these cabinets, the way they've structured their cabinets, even look at neighboring, not too far away, Rwanda.
Yeah.
Look at the way his, I think 60% of his cabinet, 60-70% of his cabinet, women, young women. And not surprising the way the country is doing.
Yeah.
It's not a surprise at all the country is actually performing. So women have that inherent, you wonder why is that they're so good at multitasking?
Yeah.
You just wonder, it's when something you're inherently wired that way.
Yeah.
They're inherently wired that way. So it just let it blossom.
Maybe they even do their best work when they're juggling so many different things.
I
maybe that's why motherhood is given to them. Like, do that and then do whatever else
they're
you
doing.
Do.
So many, they're spinning so many plates at the same time.
So I guess then a woman's journey is maybe figuring out how best to handle, you know, all the things she's doing, and then manage burnout. That is a woman's
So we're bringing this. We're bringing this almost like round 360 now. So we've touched on the role that they play and how significant and important it is. We've touched on that they actually have the capacity to do these things. And now we're talking about they're spinning so many of these plates that how do they manage it from a mental and an emotional perspective.
Yeah.
The way I view between a man and a woman is I think men are more black and white. We're more
orderly,
objective. Like it's like it's this or it's that. While women are more emotional.
Yeah.
Not emotional. I'm not talking about. You understand? So, they're shades of gray.
Yeah.
They're shades of gray when they're looking at things. So when we're trying to manage, you're spinning all these plates. It's then the emotions can. How to one manages one's emotions then come into bear because you're thinking, oh, a woman wants to give 100% in the home. She's also trying to give 100% in the workplace. She's also starting up a business. She wants to give 100% in a business. And then you're thinking, something somehow has to give.
Yeah.
And then you could end up blaming, I don't want my family to suffer. Yeah. And so you pour your channel, all your energy there, and then you find yourself not being totally fulfilled in your business, or you're not then because you're looking after the children, your career in the office may suffer. So what we're trying to do is, how can we encourage women to have that, to strike that balance? Because
to increase the capacity,
to deal and to manage those things. Yeah. And there are things you do on a mental level. There are things you even do on from even diet. I recall we had the catalyst Larry Olushola with us during our just part of the conference we had a couple of days ago, and he really touched on food and the quality of the types of food you eat can also can help with that balance.
Yeah.
So watching what one eats, when one eats, you understand, not eating like 10 o'clock at night and just binging.
Yeah.
Sleep, the importance. Oh. I mean, he touched on the importance of sleep.
Yeah.
So as a woman, yes, you've gone all the way, you've gone to work the whole day, and then you come back home, and then there's stuff you're still trying to do. But the importance of sleep, making sure one gets sufficient sleep. And I think there was something that Mrs. Musum Bello Olushoga, she was the former chairman of Access Bank.
Okay.
So, fantastic woman, achieved loads of stuff. And she said something that I think is very important for women is, not to be afraid to shout for help. You know, as part of managing one's mental health and stresses, there's a place where because you're used to that art of multitasking, you're still trying to continue to spin the plates when you can actually ask for help. So there's no shame in having a house help who's cooking the meal, that you actually have to be the one who has to cook the meal at home.
Or even asking your husband for help. Yeah.
There's no shame, or your in-laws or your neighbors, or not trying to overburden yourself and think, I'm a woman. I don't know where the book was written. The woman has to do every single thing by herself.
I think in fact that's a great point you mentioned, because you know in today's age, with women trying to be strong women, you know, they kind of like put themselves in a box that they have to be strong all the time. And I think that's the other like unintended consequence of female empowerment. It's like, find the balance. You can be whatever you want to be, but as long as one is your choice, and it helps you achieve whatever your broader life goals are. You know, whether you want to be strong or you want to be even taken care of by a man,
that's right,
as long as in there somewhere you're fulfilled and in your element. You know,
I definitely agree with you.
Three things I'd like us to touch on before we go.
Yes.
I'd like to talk about, you know, the barriers or the mental walls that have to be torn down in women to help the empowerment process. And one of them for me is this idea that they get worse with age. Women are plagued with that idea that getting old or aging means that for some reason that they would be less effective, or you know, less attractive, or the clock is ticking. You know, I think that pressure, that idea that everything must be done in your 20s is what kind of like mentally cripples a lot of women. What do you say to that?
I mean, you use one word that I think underscores it all, is that it's mental. It's a thing of the mind.
Yeah.
So there's that saying, as a man thinketh, or as a woman thinketh, so he is.
Yeah.
So it's about how one conditions one's mind. What do you feed your mind with? And that's what you end up believing. So some of the things that I'll revert back to this conference. Some of the takeaways from it was, I said, Chigo mentioned that your mind is like a garden. A garden, imagine a garden that's an orchard. lovely apples and orchards,
yeah.
grapes, juicy strawberries, lovely pears. Mm. I mean, just let your mind start to picture the,
this.
And then it's also got, as you're just walking through the, as you're walking through this vineyard, it's got this lovely fragrance. So you're like, oh wow, this is a beautiful place. I would just love to come and like sit down and chill. And then you, after you've taken the time to weed the grass and to plant all the things in your vineyard and it's starting to grow, you leave the door to your vineyard open. So you're there chilling. One night, some foxes come into the vineyard and they just...
Take your chickens.
They just take the chicken. They just run riot. They just pluck all the fruits. They pretty much run it down.
Yeah.
So, and that's the thing with the mind. Some people say, I'm sure maybe you've heard the same with this. Some people say the mind is a dangerous place.
Oh, yeah.
So what you fill it with, what you fill your mind with affects, can affect to a large
extent
of everything you do. So to women that have this, I think it's more of re-educating one's mind. I know women in their, Mary Angelou, famous poet and writer.
Maya Angelou,
famous poet, author, writer.
Yeah.
I mean, even as she was getting older and older, she was still churning out wonderful material.
It's that men, it's one of those things where women are forced to believe that they have to marry early, you know, and men are told to go after younger girls, you know, like all these things. So I feel like part of empowerment for women is getting comfortable with whatever their timeline
is. It brings me back to a bit my daughter, actually. I said, so I've almost a bit practice what you preach. So I've said, Isabel, do the stuff you want to do. I mean, you're not, there's no pressure that, oh, you must buy X. Those dreams, go for it. I try to encourage, be the best you can be. As many positive, affirmative words I can actually say to, I mean, this is all, not only to my daughter, I've got a son, Max. My son's name's Max. Same thing. So, I mean, they're I don't know.
What's your daughter's name?
Isabel. Isabel. Yeah. My son's name's. This is my. Okay, I actually have four kids. Hard to believe, but I do.
Oh yeah.
So I'll just run through their names. Christopher. I have Christopher's eldest. Then I have Jonathan. Then I have Isabel, and then the youngest is Max. And I guess part of what we do, we're talking about the mind, is how do you positively affirm them so that they can start to believe
in themselves,
in themselves, and that I can actually do this. So, and you're not, I just recall growing up, my dad actually telling me that, Yemi, you could be anything you set your mind to be, anything you, I mean, I don't know how you emphasize it, anything you set your mind to be. You could be, if you wanted to be a doctor, you could be it. You could be anything, and that's the same thing we need to affirm our women in terms of this mindset of whatever your eggs are, kick it, your eggs are whatever you need to get married at a certain age.
General age.
No, you thing. Can. Age is actually but a number, really.
Yeah,
age is a number. It's
and
how
you find lots of women giving birth later in their lives now.
That's correct.
Because obviously. Medicine has gone forward.
Advanced. That's correct.
You know, so you can actually give birth, have kids, you know, enjoy a full life.
That's correct.
You know, at any time.
That's correct.
I think that's one. The next thing I would like to point out is, you know what? Funny, we've talked almost an hour and we haven't talked about one of the most important things that has to do with womanhood, sexuality. One of the things that kill women more than anything is the repression of their sexuality. In fact, you know, a war on sex is essentially a war on women. And you find that sexually progressive cultures give us literature, philosophy, civilization, the Renaissance.
Yes.
And then sexually restrictive cultures give us the Dark Ages, the Holocaust. So there's a direct correlation between the progress of a country, a nation, a culture, and the way they treat women and sex.
That's correct.
So I feel like part of that empowerment is women, you know, being accepting of
their sexuality, embracing it. I mean, I think there's, and I just want to even add, so embracing their sexuality, but not being sexualized.
That distinction is so key.
And this comes from within. So I'm talking as a woman. I am good enough the way I am. I don't actually have to, you understand, sexualize myself before I can see a door open for me. Do you understand? Because they are confident in their own skin. They're confident in their own innate abilities. Do you understand? And when you meet a woman who is confident and can talk confidently, I mean, for me, it's like, oh, well, yeah, and that's how it should be.
Yeah.
So women embracing the totality of their sexuality, but not being sexualized.
Yeah.
I think that is important because you watch videos and sometimes dumbing down on women, and they become sexual tools, and that's why you see some of these vices actually going on. It's because they've been sexualized, and then the perception of one of maybe the male sex, or I mean, you even have women who actually do the same to other women. So if you're not totally confident in your own skin, then you could then be sexualized as a sexual tool. You're not valued. So women, and that's what we're doing here, is to encourage women to be confident in their skin. You don't actually have to be sexualized and think you have to
do too much to get attention.
And that
liking sex is not a bad thing, you know.
We could talk on that. Do you know the funny thing? It's not a bad thing at all. Actually, it's great. Actually,
you know how many women are forced to deny that aspect of themselves, cutting off an arm.
So I'm married. Married for a couple of years, and when you're talking about sex, fantastic.
Yeah.
So wife loves it.
Yeah.
Love it.
Yeah.
Anytime.
Ideally, yes.
So it's not something to hide under the table. And unfortunately, it can if you're trying to downplay it, it can kill that relationship.
Yes.
So women, I don't think there's anything, there's nothing, I think there's something also, you can find, people have different levels of their estrogen level, their sexual appetites differ. So, and it's not anything to shy away from. Not to shy away from it at all.
It's more about owning it, being responsible about
that
it.
That is correct.
And
I like the way you've been responsible about it.
Not let anyone make you feel anyway, because it's so understated. You look at countries like Belgium, like Amsterdam, that are doing phenomenally well. You look at countries like Japan, like South Korea, that are doing phenomenally well. And those countries are known to have like sex is not a taboo topic.
That's correct.
You know, and likewise, women are allowed
to
express their sexuality
however they feel. Yes.
And the entire community benefits from that.
But
then you see countries like Nigeria where, you know, people have to hide.
That's correct.
To engage in their sexual vices, you know.
Yes.
Places where people when you mention sex, everybody's like, people can't even talk about sex with their kids. You know, when there's sex on the TV screen, your son or daughter will have to find somewhere to hide there, like an ostrich.
To be honest, I guess we have a long way to go.
Yeah,
we've got a long way to go.
We do
as a society.
Oh yeah, we do.
But I guess we're making tiny steps.
The individuals. I think every woman who comes in contact with Winner, and who is, you know, definitely trying to be the best version of herself, it starts from her, you know, and then maybe in her own comfortability,
yes,
it affects, you know, how she runs the rest of her life, and it just ripples like that. I really feel these things, initiatives like this, cannot be overstated in terms of the impact you guys are making.
Thank you.
And just I wasn't fortunate enough to listen, but just from the nuggets that you've been throwing at me that came from that, I can imagine
I need to chip this in. So we had this session. I know we're fast running out of time. There was this session we had on technology as a tool for business innovation.
Yeah,
and we had this panel session. We had three amazing speakers. Yeah. We had Miss Angel Adilaja Kuye. She is a special advisor to the Ogun State Governor.
Okay,
and she also does vertical farming in agriculture.
Yeah.
We had Mrs. Amal Hassan.
Mm-hmm.
She runs this BPO, Business Process Outsourcing, company called Global Outsourcing. And we also had this fantastic lady, Miss Aisha Sambo. She's a media, you know Aisha Sambo?
Very familiar.
Fantastic.
Yes.
So we had these three amazing speakers.
Yeah.
And listening to them, you can see that technology as a tool for women, especially how women can use technology. Amal, she runs this fantastic organization. I didn't know that in Nigeria you had companies that their clients are in the US, all over the world. I'm not talking about, their clients are not Nigerian, and they outsource their outsource their HR functions to them. Yes, they outsource their customer relationship services to them. These are companies in America, all over the world, and their contact centers and all that are managed in Nigeria. Sets up, CEO, founder, managed by a Nigerian. Did everything, a woman, from scratch. Listening to her story, how she believed in herself, how she said she was not going to go, how she failed so many times, and each time she said, I was going to get this, make this happen, made it happen. Similar story, listening to Angel Adilaja Kuye, where she was talking about how she set up this vertical farm. Looked at the way traditional way for farming, and then she said no, there has to be a better way. How can I get organic products? How can I get them to market faster, better quality? And started it from scratch. Not a techie, but was willing to learn. Google, lots of tools there. She shared all this, and she shared this during the conference.
Yeah.
I mean, it was really mind-blowing. So women are doing amazing things. And this is just an opportunity just to encourage, that these are our role models, just like the founder of my organization. She's been running programs, supporting women, not only rural women, but also now women in the enterprise.
Yeah.
Supporting them to grow, and that we have amazing women role models out there that we can actually look up, that they can actually look up to, and say, okay, do you know what? I want to be a better me. I can see people who've done it. I can actually learn from them. I can approach them, and I can be mentored by them.
Yeah,
and then be the better version that I want to be.
Amazing.
Yes.
Amazing.
Yes.
The last thing is that I feel like women that would help in the empowerment process mentally is the reduction of the exaltation of the male child, you know, because that affects how women see themselves.
That is correct.
As from childhood, you know.
That's correct.
And it just carries on, you know. You always just put male, you know.
Yes.
Whatever.
On a pedestal.
On a pedestal that you're beneath it, or you're not as.
Yes.
And I think that is harmful.
Equal importance, equal value.
Mm.
Equal importance. Seriously, equal. If I know, I can look at my home, and I know the value that Taiwo, my wife's name, what she brings to the table, equal value.
Yeah.
In fact, in some cases, I'm like, wow, she goes more beyond. You understand? So Matey.
So it's, and you know it too.
Keep it humble, matey. You keep it humble. No need to this life is too short. No need to start making too much noise. But that's it. So the role and this is this works both ways, in terms of for the man, what do you model What do you model at home? Teachers in school, what do you model? Do you understand? In the workplace, what is being modeled? So if from a young age, I model, I told you I've got a daughter and a son, and there's just like a 2 year, 1.5 year, 2 year gap between them. I don't model to them that Isabel is, or Max, even though he's younger, Max is of more value than, you understand, is the favored one or whatever. Equal value. They can achieve equal goals. They can be the best or whatever. That's what I'm modeling to them. Isabel does not in any way see herself inferior or lower value to Max. So for us, I guess, as the, it's upon us as the ones who are, when we're bringing the next generation, to actually model that, because it's a function of what has been modeled. And that's the reason why one is perceived to be one value and one is supposed to be higher than the other. If we're modeling into the next generation that they're of equal value, then they will believe that they can equally bring things to the table that will be of value. But when one is kind of is already perceiving himself as a lower value and think, okay, I don't even really need to do much, really. I just fold my arms. Since he's supposedly the main person, then he should just cook, be doing all the stuff. Do you understand? So it's for us to model those things or to affirm them so that they can believe that they're of equal weighting, they can equally contribute to society, they can equally affect society. And then society is better for it.
That's it. That is really it. Mr. Yemi, we did it.
We did it. You're the God mates. We're producing gods and goddesses. And seriously, this was like a breeze. I don't know why we haven't done this
earlier.
How is taking us this long just to set up this setup? Thank you for having me. Thank you for having me,
my man. It's a pleasure. I mean, it's always good to speak very candidly and very fluently, might I add, about these things. You really shared a lot of things that I feel I've learned from, and I think my listeners would definitely, you know, look at, especially like now we all want to meet Isabel. We want to know firsthand, you know, what this girl is all about.
Bundle of, but they're all
protector, man. Your only job is to, as Chris Rock said one time, he said, I have three daughters and my only job is to keep her off the pole. You know?
Death.
Definitely.
Death.
You know?
They're fun and games. They keep you young. Never a dull moment. You wake up in the morning and the first thing they do is they open the door while you're still trying to sleep. They jump on your bed and they're like, okay, please, 5 more minutes. No. They want to start the day with you. So it's
you know what's interesting about this lockdown is that now more than ever, kids and parents are spending more time together.
That's correct.
Usually it's you go to school,
that's correct,
you go to work, we see at night or whatever.
That's correct.
Now 4 months or 5 months straight,
yes,
you have to be with your aunt. And you know what, for parents it's like, oh my god, my kids are like all over the place, disturb me, oh my it's like, but for the kids it's like, we get this to is what see daddy and mommy every day. Mr. Yemi, thank you for doing this to me. I think we can risk this handshake because it was just worth it.
I kind of actually forgot.
And that's what good conversation does, man. Yes. You just forget.
Yes.
Thank you so much.
Pleasure.
Please share the links of the winner.
Yes. So to find out more about winner, please go to our website. It's www.winner, that's W-E-N-A, winner.org.ng. If you still want to send us an email, and our email address is email at info@winner.org.ng, hashtag winner initiative. So you can get that on Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, hashtag winner initiative. Our office address is 90 Aminokano Crescent, Wuse 2. Women out there, please, we want to hear from you. We want to continue to engage you, continue to provide, continue to support. That's what our founder believes in. And I can't but end but final thanks to my founder, Excellency Aisha Babangida, for putting this together with Diola.
Yes.
this is what we're all about. Yeah. Please contact us and let's see how we can actually work together.
Fantastic. Ladies and gentlemen, the executive director of Winner, Mr. Yemi Bello.
Thank you.
Amen.
And I've finally met the God himself, Rodney. Pleasure meeting you.
Likewise.
Thank you.
That's the Young God.
If you made it to the end of this episode, you're a real one. Thanks again for tuning in. If you enjoyed this, there's a whole lot more where that came from. Just scroll down, you'll see all the range of topics, guests, stories, whatever. I've put in some work for you guys, so there's something for everyone. I release episodes every Saturday at midnight, and depending on my mood, I might release 2 or 3. You know, I can be generous like that. So don't forget to subscribe and leave a review if you feel so inspired. Tell a friend to tell a friend. And follow the podcast on Instagram at The Young God Pod and Twitter at I Am The Young God for exclusive content. And just, yo, we're in this, man. Thanks again. Rodney Amokachie out.